world. Welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about our forecast versus reality. This is really important. Andrew and I were recently in Auckland in Christchurch talking to some of our clients. And whenever we deal with anyone, or when we talk on the podcast, we give out a whole range of forecasts, from interest rates to inflation to house price increases and how fast rents are going to go up. But it's really important that we also are accountable for those forecasts and say, well, we put these predictions out into the world. Were we right? How often are we right? How often would these assumptions hold? Because that's really important when you're thinking about investing in property. Now, Andrew, what would you say are the biggest assumptions when we are putting together numbers for investors?
So I think things like the cash flow are really important. And, you know, there's lots of things that we look at, like inflation and how quickly rents will go up, all those kind of things, and interest rates. But I think the number one that people care about, because they're building wealth, is the capital growth. So for a growth property, so a house or a townhouse, we use 6% as our standard assumption for Auckland, and we use 5% for everywhere else.
And there are other assumptions like rents and things. We'll cover that in a future episode. Now, one of the difficulties with investments is that the return that you specifically get depends on where you buy. So if we think about property price data, they started tracking this back in 1992 at the Real Estate Institute. They're really good. And we'll often say things like, since 1992, Auckland house prices have gone up by 7%. And that is absolutely true. That's what happened. But what if you bought in 2012 in Auckland before property prices boomed? Well, your return might be higher than that. Well, what if you bought in 2022 when property prices were really at their height? Well, since then, house prices have fallen. So not everyone is going to get 7% a year exactly every single year. Your return might be higher or lower depending on the year that you actually bought. So Andrew, let's start by looking at cities. We're going to start outside of Auckland. We're going to start with Hamilton. We usually say house prices go up by 5%, but what has the return been based on when you purchased?
So say you purchased in 2012, your average has been 7.7%.
So if I bought a house in Hamilton, average house, and it followed the market perfectly, that house has gone up by an average of 7.7% compounding per year. But it's interesting, if you bought in 2007, it was a lower return on an annual basis, right?
Which is interesting because often you think, well, the longer you hold it, the more it goes up. Now, yes, it's gone up more, but at a lower rate than if you bought more recently.
Yeah, and if you think about even 2020, your house has gone up by 6.4% a year. But if you bought in 2022, your house has gone down on average by just under 5% per year because you bought at the peak of the market. Now, what's important to note, though, is that if you purchased at any time before 2020, then the Hamilton market has gone up by at least 5% a year once you average it out. So that's telling me that saying, hey, look, a 5% capital growth rate in Hamilton is very appropriate because 91% of the time, house prices have gone up by at least 5% a year on average. It's only the more recent years where it hasn't. And that's just because you haven't been in the market very long. And if we look at all of the other major cities except Auckland, we see a very similar trend. So, I mean, what happened if you bought a property in Tauranga in 2015, Andrew?
You made 9.3% average growth rate.
It's a massive, massive increase. So, you know, again, we say 7% per year on average in Auckland is what it's been over the last 30-ish years. But if you bought in 2015 in Tauranga, you've actually done much better than that. If you bought back in 2006, 2007, you would have done a little bit worse per year because the market would have been flat. You would have purchased back in the GFC, then property prices went down, they recovered, and you've made a lot of money, but your return is a little bit lower. So it does depend on where you specifically buy.
And I think it's really important that you take an average, but then also you discount a little bit, because if you're forecasting for capital growth and you're thinking, right, this is going to be my retirement plan or whatever, you want to be a little bit conservative. You don't want to be so optimistic that you don't end up with enough money later on?
Well, the other issue with investment returns is we often pick two arbitrary dates and measure the difference between them.
So 1992 and now.
Yeah, because 1992 is just when the data started. But what if house prices were particularly cheap in 1992 and we're at the bottom of the market because we don't have data of what happens before then? Well, that would mean that we'd see a lot of capital growth from there. Similarly, if we measure it from today, we're at the bottom of the market, and so returns might look a little bit lower. And so when you use an average like that, and people often do this, oh, over the last 10 years, property prices have gone up by X% that can sometimes be very misleading because you're only thinking, well, what was the price then? What is the price today? How much have prices gone up? What's the average of that? And that can start to be really misleading based on the data that you choose. What's good about the data we're talking about here is we're looking at 32 different years that you could have purchased and what would your compounding return have been. So this gives you a bit of a sense of the range of returns that you specifically might get.
I tell you what, this is one of the things that I did bring up at the event. As we've grown, we've been able to afford to have an economist.
Hire nerds.
Yeah, exactly. And when Opus was first started, we would literally buy the data from the REINZ every year and we'd take it for the main centres and we'd put it into our spreadsheet and then we would average it out. We'd do exactly what you said. Could be a little bit misleading because it's not taking the whole picture, but that was the best we could afford to do back then.
And that's what most people do. Now, if we think about Christchurch City, if you bought in 2007, 2008, your compounding return has been 4.4% since you bought then. So that's a little bit lower than the 5% we usually say. But if you bought in 2020, at the moment, your compounding annual return has been 10.4%. So the year that you buy certainly does matter in terms of the percentage return you get. But in terms of thinking whether these forecasts, a 5% capital growth rate in Christchurch or a 6% capital growth rate in Auckland is appropriate, I've also run the numbers on how many of those years met that target or beat it. And in somewhere like Auckland, property prices have underperformed if we look at the last 30-something years. I know that's surprising because Auckland house prices have gone up faster than anywhere else in the country. But only 53% of the time over the last 30-something years has house prices gone up by at least a compounding 6% a year when measured against today in 2024 at the bottom of the market.
Now, just for my simple mind, does that mean that because you've had a higher than 6% growth rate on average, that 47% of the time it might have been 9% and then the other 53% it might have been 4% and it averages out?
No, it doesn't average out in this one. So with Auckland, one of the difficulties is the comparison point we're using today is when we're 20% down from the peak of the market, right?
Yes.
So I'm comparing what was the price in 2018, which was just over $1 million, with what is it today, which is about 1.28. And I'm comparing January 2005 with January 2024. I'm comparing January 2006 with January 2024. And what we see is that if you measure it as of today, sometimes, like if you bought in 1997, house prices went up by 5.97%. Now, that's under 6%. So in that number I just gave you, that would not meet the target. So that's part of the 47% of the years that didn't meet target, even though any rational person would say, well, it's basically 6%, so I'm not too worried about it. But what's interesting is, as I said before, it all depends on where you measure it from. So if we measured it from the top of the market, if I ran these same numbers for you 2 years ago, Auckland would have met the target 100% of the time.
Isn't that amazing?
So my point here is that I could give you numbers that are better, but you could always fudge the numbers to make them look good or bad, depending on how you cherry pick the data.
And I think an important thing to remember as well is this is all properties, right? Yep. This is properties that are growth properties and yield properties, right?
That is true. One last thing, though, I just want to dig into because I've got sidetracked about Auckland, is if you look at Christchurch City, so 84% of the time, no matter where you purchased, your house value went up by at least 5%, or the market went up by at least 5%. In Hamilton, it was 91% of the time. In Tauranga City, no matter which year you purchased, 88% of the time, house prices went up by at least 5% a year compounding on average. Wellington region was over 80%, same with Dunedin. So if you ask me, you know, is that a good assumption that if I buy a house, will it go up by 5% a year compounding? That's a pretty good assumption. Over 80% of the time, that would have been true historically. So that gives you a lot of confidence that if you purchase a house outside of Auckland, there's a good likelihood that it goes up by 5% a year and you don't have to time the market too much. It's often true.
Now, Ed, there was one graph that you brought out at the event where you were showing the length of time that someone invests in the market and what their percentage returns was. Do you know what that was?
Yeah, let me quickly pull it up for you guys who are all watching on the YouTube because I thought this was really important. So one of the things I was trying to highlight is that, you know, if you purchased a property in Auckland back in 2019, your house value's gone up by 23%, or that's what the market's gone up by. If you purchased in 2020, the market's gone up by 18% since you purchased. If you purchased it at 2022, January 2022, the market's gone down by 15% since that point that you purchased. But this is only a very narrow 5-year period, right? Like, we're only looking at 5 years. So what would this graph look like if we zoomed out another 30 years? And the answer is it looks completely different. We've seen if you purchased a property in 1992, your house value has gone up by over 750%.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, if you purchased in the late 90s, your house might have gone up by 380-ish%. If you purchased more recently, as I said, it might have only gone up by 20-something percent. The truth is that the people who get into the market the longest are those who make the most money. And one of the things that I hope I don't freak too many people out by when looking at these numbers today is that if we zoom back to 1992 in Auckland and we measure it today, you know, it looks like, oh, my house has gone up by 7% compounding per year. Oh, that's not very much. Well, actually, yes, it is. Over a 30-year period, your house is now worth over 8 times what it was back in 1992. So it's a lot of money. But I'm specifically talking about, well, are the assumptions or are the forecasts we use around Auckland going up by 6% a year, everywhere else going up by 5% per year, are those appropriate? And the truth is that most of the time, that is absolutely an appropriate assumption because it doesn't really matter what year you've purchased. Over half the time, those assumptions turn out to be true.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it always does depend, like you said before, at what your point of reference is today. Like, I can't believe the difference. If you'd wound back 2 years and run those numbers, 100% of the time it was well above the assumption.
Yeah, because it depends what your comparison point is. Yeah. Are you using the top of the market? Are you using the bottom of the market? So if I rerun these numbers in a year's time and the Auckland property market recovers, it will shock you how much of a difference that makes. And the reason is because if house prices go up by 10% today, that's an extra $130,000. And if you compare that to back when property prices were $1 million, well, that's a 13% increase on what you originally purchased for. So it's very interesting. I was actually saying to my partner the other day, this either will be interesting and we'll leave it in or we'll cut it because it's not interesting. I said to her, isn't it fascinating that I weigh 50% more than you, but you weigh 66% of my body weight?
Right, so what you're saying there is...
Have you got my point?
No.
Have you got my point, Andrew? David, is that a good point? Maybe it's not a good point.
What's your point?
My point is art percentage is fascinating.
Well, I think your point is... And
don't put words in my mouth.
...is that you can skew which way you're looking at it to make the numbers seem better or worse.
That is absolutely my point. I'm glad that you were able to see through that very strange story.
Yeah, but I think it's a really important thing to bear in mind when you see stats come out because... headlines and often developers when they're putting up things, they'll use data in a way that maybe isn't that useful for making a decision.
I think that's a fair point. Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you are listening on your Spotify or Apple Podcasts app and you want to see some of these graphs, just Google Opus Partners YouTube. We've got it all on the YouTube there. And if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button. We release new videos every Monday and Wednesday. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most of New Zealand property. Until next time.